Thanks, Matt. Well, what shall we do? Do you consider yourself to have great boldness? Boldness in God and for God? I suspect that many of us feel like Elisha's servant did on this occasion. We are terrified and don't naturally think of ourselves as bold at all. Well, I've got good news for you. God's word has stuff to say to us, and we're going to look at today at how God worked to counter that servant's fear with God-centered boldness. And this is going to help us to grow in our own boldness individually, and my prayer is going to help TCC to grow in boldness as well. Boldness that counters the fear so that we please God. Boldness rooted in trust in God, rooted in reminders of the promises of God, rooted in the working of the power of the Holy Spirit of God to grow us who are not by nature bold to have biblical boldness. There's the terror-stricken man there, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. He's a servant of the prophet of God. And as you look at the broader context, the servant was maybe kind of an assistant prophet, a prophet in developing, perhaps. But he rose that morning there in Dothan and went out and looked, and there the king of Syria had sent an army with horses and chariots. It was all around the city. And of course, he was terror-stricken. Alas, my master, he says to Elisha, what shall we do? And so what shall we do? We need this God-centered boldness, and we need it. Let's just think of scenarios. We sense God leading us to do something, to serve in a ministry or something, but we're terrified. We feel ill-equipped, so we bail. We notice someone in need. God is opening a door. We're nudged in the direction of helping, but rather than seeking them out and helping, we steer clear of the conversation so the uncomfortable doesn't have to be brought up. Or a topic comes up. You're there. And truth, clear biblical truth, is being countered. It's being ignored. It's being twisted. And you know you should say something. You need to say something. But it's easier when you're fearful to not say something. And I agree with the words of Gary Rohrmeier, who's the writer of our little devotional on Courageous Prayers. He says, courage isn't the absence of fear. There's really no such thing. But courage is the conquest of fear by holding on to something bigger, which is God himself, and seeing him for who he is, the one who's, as we sang about, always working. Even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when we don't feel it, he's still working. He's the God who is working, the God who gives boldness. So we're going to consider today a few things about opening your eyes for boldness. And we're going to camp a little around the request of Elisha, request for God to open eyes. And we need to, in a same kind of way, pray for God to open our eyes, to see things as they really are, for boldness. And we're going to consider the man Elisha himself. How did he end up at this stage of the game? Like, obviously, in a totally different frame of mind than his servant, even before Elisha prayed the prayer for God to open the servant's eyes. And I would submit to you, he had been growing in boldness as he was renewed in trusting God time and time and time and time again. And so that's a pattern for us to consider as well. Elisha knew God was working in the unseen ways and could always be trusted. And I want to submit, we need to pray for open eyes, yes, but consider how God is growing us in courage and in boldness. And let's consider the countering bold or countering fear boldness of the servant that was given when his eyes were opened, and Elisha himself, who had boldness even before the miracle of his eyes being opened. What gave Elisha this boldness? Spiritual boldness is a work of God. I would submit to you a supernatural work of God. Now, some seem to be more kind of physically courageous than others. Sometimes I think a sense of physical strength maybe is a part of that. Sometimes a sense of emotional resilience is part of that. But all of us need God's supernatural working to grow in spiritual boldness. And even those that are small of stature and by nature timid can, I believe, have spiritual boldness by the power and working of God. And that's what we're looking at today. So just kind of a little setup here. Elisha's servant needs boldness, and we do as well. Let's just walk through the story. As Matt read it, he did a great job kind of with the dynamics of it. But Syria's king sets out to attack Israel. This is about 840, 850 BC. And Elisha, the prophet of God, gives Israel's king, the divine intel. And basically telling Israel's king where to go or not go to avoid getting captured or defeated by the Syrians. So because of God's prophet, Israel is always winning. And this keeps happening again and again. And Syria's king smells a rat. He's like, somebody from us has been telling the king of Israel the scoop about where we're going. And he's assured, no, that's not what's happening. The problem is the prophet of God. But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel. This is 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 9. Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there. So this is the pattern again and again for victory for Israel. The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Thus he, that is Elisha, used to warn him, so that he, that is Israel's king, saved himself there more than once or twice. The prophet is the problem. And what a wonderful way of describing that. The king of Syria is told that Elisha tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your very own bedroom. Of course, this is the power and working of God and the prophet that God was using at that time. So the king of Syria sets out to destroy Elisha, go and seize him. He finds out he's at Dothan. He sends then an army of chariots and horses and great number of men. They surround the city by night. And now we have the terror-stricken man, the servant of Elisha, who says, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" When he sees the army with the horses and the chariots that was all around the city. So fear may keep us from doing what we should do, what God wants us to do, what we're called to do. We all know this. What gave Elisha boldness? Look with me at 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 16. It's the verse right after the verse Matt read. And you may scratch your head here for a minute, but we're going to unpack this today. Here's what gave Elisha boldness. He said to the servant, "Do not be afraid, for the reason is those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. How can this be? Up against this great need, Elisha the prophet saw that God had it. God's got it. And today we're going to consider our own need and how God has it for us, so that we grow in boldness by God, for God, in God. This is the working of God. And in the context, we're going to see what's happening and how this applies to each of us as well. Open your eyes for boldness. Elisha prayed for an eyes open boldness for his servant, his assistant. And God then answered in response to that prayer. This is a spiritual pattern for us. Can we just understand? Here's the pattern. When we need boldness, ask God to give us boldness. When our eyes don't see spiritually the true dynamics of God's greatness, that God has it, pray that God would help us to see so that fear is conquered. And pray this prayer for other believers, and pray this prayer even for those who don't yet believe so that they do believe. There's a request Elisha gives, the prayer, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17a. Then Elisha prayed. After he made the statement, those are with us, more than those are with them, and probably the servants looking and saying, I don't see it. This is crazy. What are you talking about? Elisha prayed and asked God to open the servant's eyes to see that God does in fact have this. Lord, open our eyes, open my eyes, open the eyes of believers, open the eyes of others who do not yet believe to see and become bold. Look at God's response. I love this. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And he saw. He saw now spiritually things that he didn't see before. This was, of course, a miracle of God. And we'll talk a little bit about the times when maybe God isn't doing such miracles that we don't physically see, but we can spiritually see by the power and working of God. Here he did see, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The armies of Syria surrounded Elisha and his servant, but the armies of God surrounded the armies that surrounded them. Horses and chariots of fire. What's this stuff? Well, in the Bible, fire is often associated with God and his holiness. We can look at countless examples of that. And also, when God is disclosing himself, when he's revealing his glory and his power to frail human beings, very often in the Bible, fire is the image that shows up. And horses and chariots and divine armies are also involved here. These are those that are the more that are with us are not human armies. These are angelic armies. And we're reminded in the Bible, passages like Psalm 91:11, Hebrews 1:14, there are angelic beings that God sends to do his work. And such was happening here in this occasion, God's response for Elisha's servant to see those angelic beings, see the self-disclosure of God's great power, and to grow in boldness because of that. Jesus is, as we're reminded by Hebrews chapter 1, far greater than the angelic beings. So our worship of Jesus should remind us that he is working in these unseen ways. And whether he's choosing to send angels or not is not the point, but he always does, in fact, have those who are his. He's got it. And as we pray, God works in such a way to help us to gain confidence in that, to see it. Let's go back to the story of Elisha just briefly, looking at 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 18. There's a little more happening, and we're not going to go into the details here, but when the Syrians came down against him, as Elisha prayed and the servant saw the armies of God and the chariots of fire, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike these people with blindness. Now you may think, oh, he's trying to get them. Actually not. The blindness they're struck with actually leads them to a place of being blessed and fed, and leads to peace between Syria and Israel. And all that's a part of the working of God through the prophet of God as he trusted in the power of God with this boldness to know that God's got it. But I want to come back to us. I want to come back to you and me, and like, how do we move forward in boldness related to this principle of prayer? Prayer, in the Bible's instruction, grows us in boldness in the way of opening eyes. I want us to consider two Bible passages that relate to eyes being opened and the connection to prayer. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18, Paul is speaking about the Lord gave him a mandate to proclaim the gospel to the Gentiles. He's giving an account of his conversion. And in the version he gives there in Acts chapter 26, he says God had given him this instruction to open their eyes. That is unbelievers, particularly the Gentiles, by proclaiming and by the working of the Spirit of God. This is what happens then when eyes are opened for those who do not yet believe, so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Brothers and sisters, when we think of those who are spiritually blind, they don't see the power and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, let us pray for them that their eyes be open. Let us proclaim the gospel. The Holy Spirit works through that so that their eyes are opened. And of course, as believers, like me, probably struggle with the issue of boldness. How do we get it? And with all the different ways that our faith is being attacked and undermined, we may feel like the best we can do is just sort of cower in the corner. And yet that is not what the Bible would call us to do. The Bible would call us to pray for our eyes to be opened. I love Paul's prayer in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. It's actually the Bible prayer that's behind the first song we sang today, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord." Why should God open the eyes of our heart? Well, one of those reasons is to give us boldness, to help us to see God for who he is so that we don't shrink back from doing what God calls us to do. I pray, is Paul's prayer for believers here in Ephesians 1:18, and I would submit to you, this is the kind of prayer we should pray for ourselves, for other believers, and each other, that our eyes be open for growing in courage. I pray that having the eyes of your heart enlightened, or open, some translations say, that you may know. There's three things that happen when our eyes are opened as believers. Know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance as saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe. When you're in those moments, pray for God to open your eyes to see these things. You step up with God-glorifying boldness. Pray for eyes to be opened even at Trinity and in this year. And as I'm asking the question, this series, got boldness, I would pray that we are praying that more and more we would, not because it's natural, but because God works supernaturally to grow us in this as we pray and continue to call out to him. Let's look at another aspect of this, open your eyes for boldness. We've sort of been shining the light on Elisha's servant. He didn't have boldness. Elisha prayed. God opened his eyes, and now he had some fear, countering boldness given by God, because he saw the reality that God's got this. But I'd like us to kind of shift the spotlight of our consideration to Elisha. Elisha. I would submit to you, Elisha already had boldness. He didn't need the revelation that the servant needed, to get boldness. He was already confident God's got this. And I would submit to you, this was because Elisha was trained by a process of growing, and God's working by his grace. If you look back at the broader story, which we're going to do a little bit, we see little pieces of this, right? It wasn't just like a flash in the pan boldness. I think that's where we go wrong oftentimes. We want a flash in the pan boldness, but God wants to grow us in the character of boldness. And this is a process over time. Boldness is a supernatural work, yes, but it shows up in those who keep growing. So keep growing. Keep seeking God. Keep praying. Keep trusting. Keep obeying. When those situations confront you As you increasingly step up and receive the God-centered boldness to act in ways of trusting God, then over time, more and more, you develop the character of boldness. Elisha had such character. He said this because he had already prayed and trusted and obeyed God numerous times, and I would submit to you, been trained by God in boldness. The text does not say Elisha already saw what he prayed the servant would see. It could be that he did. I think it's more likely, though, he already was confident that God's got this, even if the miracle of sight to see what was happening in the unseen realm had not yet happened. Elisha had seen miracles. He'd prophesied regarding miracles. By the working of God, he had performed miracles, but oftentimes he saw none. But he always possessed this God-centered, God-worked boldness, even when he didn't see it. I put down there 1 Timothy 4, verse 7a. We're going to talk about that in a second. But I want you to consider some of the enemies of boldness. If I could take you down a little bit of a journey here and into some conversations that we have as a ministry staff and ministry leaders from time to time, and we need someone for this. It's a children's ministry. It's a youth ministry. It's a missions going to the DR as a woman leader. It's who can reach out to so-and-so in a difficult situation. And many, many times over the last year or so, I found myself using a word in conversation with people here as we're looking at who might do this. Here's the word I've used. The word is grit. The word is grit. Do you have grit? Spiritual grit? I would submit to you the enemies of boldness are caution, comfort, and convenience. These are, sadly, for many Christians today, the highest values. Caution, comfort, and convenience. And if you sell out for caution, comfort, and convenience, your highest values, you will never qualify as one who has grit. Spiritual courage. Step into places that are somewhat uncomfortable, somewhat not a safe zone, somewhat inconvenient, but nevertheless a place God would want you to be, doing things God would want you to do, saying things God would want you to say. My prayer is that God would grow all of us more and more in that grit, that God-centered ability to press beyond the drive for caution, comfort, and convenience, to serve, to give, to pray, and even as we're praying, to pray not just that it'd be easy, but pray that we would be bold in what God calls us to do. Let's consider 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7a. Here in this text, we see a command, New Testament, for believers to grow in godliness in a way that God produces this in us, which is not like just a flash in the pan kind of thing. It's a process of spiritual training. If we were to have a contest of running, who would win the race? Somebody who'd been in training, right? If we were to have a contest of weightlifting, who would lift the most weights? Not somebody who'd been sitting on the couch. Somebody who'd been doing weightlifting, been training. If we were doing a contest for knitting, anything, right? Who would win the contest? Somebody who'd done a lot of knitting and training and knitting. Training spiritually, then, is how we grow in godliness. Not by hoping that we get it, but that process of looking to God, trusting God, praying, obeying, and boldness and other godly traits come out in the training process. Elisha's training process, I would submit to you, had begun back when he was first taking up the mantle of being a prophet. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 6, we can see that here in this day, on this occasion, Elisha saw that the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire. His servant certainly saw it. And Elisha, though, had already seen this before. And I want to take you to that text in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. You can turn your Bibles if you want. So back when Elijah, different prophet, Elijah, this mighty prophet of God, was taken to heaven, Elisha had been his assistant for many years. And Elisha, no doubt, felt very inadequate to pick up the mantle of prophet that the mighty Elijah was now leaving as he went to heaven. But God performed something for him there. And here in this text, Elisha clearly saw it. Look with me at 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And as they went on and talked, this is Elijah and Elisha, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. He saw the power of God, the display of God's greatness, and his mentor being taken up into heaven. And now when the mantle fell to him, he knew of God's power. He knew of God's might. He'd seen it. And he was then in the process of being trained by it. If you follow the text for the story of Elisha over and over again, miracles, prophetic utterances, but many times he was being ridiculed, he was being ignored, he was being despised because of the message he gave, but he stayed strong by the working of God. And I would submit to you, as believers now, we've seen a miracle or two. One is our conversion itself. We've come to know the power and working of God by the Holy Spirit of God who dwells within us. We've had a lifetime, or at least the time since we become a believer, of watching God work. And so now we are being called by God to stand strong in the battle. Ephesians chapter 6 gives us this direct exhortation. In the battle, stay strong. God is the one in whom we stand to have this strength. And so continue to trust him, continue to pray to him, continue to see that he's got it, whatever you're facing. And Ephesians chapter 6 definitely connects that to prayer. As we go through the spiritual armor there, Ephesians 6, it ends with a call to prayer. Let me read this scripture for you. Finally, this is written to believers, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God. And jumping down to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, then, praying at all times, look at the emphasis of prayer here, in the Spirit, with all prayer, there's another all, and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, another all, making supplication for all the saints, that's all God's people, another all. Prayer then for our courage and courage in our praying. This is the exhortation of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. This is where boldness is forged and the character of boldness is developed. The training program of growing in boldness to be renewed in trusting God over time, again and again, by being people prayer. Do you have boldness? Let's pray God gives us such boldness. As our response today, I want to encourage us around three things. And I want to speak first to anyone here who has yet to trust Christ personally as Savior. Only when you believe in him, only when your eyes are open, so you turn to him, in those words of Acts chapter 26, to turn from darkness to light, only then, when our eyes are open in that, do we truly see and truly grow in spiritual boldness, God-centered boldness, God-glorifying boldness. If you haven't taken that step, take the step today of turning to Christ. And if you want help taking that step, please see me or someone else here today that we could pray for you and guide you as you respond to the gospel. Number two, let's make it a practice to regularly request that God renew and open the eyes of believers like us. Let's do this so that daily we see and daily we grow in boldness. We so need this in this time. And then let's trust God and obey, trust God and obey, trust God and obey, so that we grow in the character of boldness as God works in us. And then I want to take us to the Lord's Supper itself. We end here today in celebrating Jesus, the one who opens eyes, the one who saves, the one who had courage when he went to the cross, and the one who gives courage for those who come under his cross. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, is speaking to believers about how it is that we grow in endurance. I think that's kind of a boldness. How do we continue pressing on even when it's hard to press on? Continue to be faithful even when it's hard to be faithful. And the writer of the book of Hebrews says we do so by looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That is, that it's all done. Salvation is settled. But notice how Jesus was seeing something as he went to the cross. He saw the joy of redeeming believers. He saw the joy of the results of his obedience to the Father. He too was made and growing in this boldness as he considered and saw the reality of what his sacrifice on the cross would bring. And so let's look to him, the one who is that reality and grows us in boldness. As we partake of the Lord's Supper, let us ask God to grow us in this boldness as we celebrate Jesus and his boldness that resulted in our salvation. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, you know our need for boldness. So we pray that you would open our eyes to see, to call upon you, to consider the truth of your word, to know that there's an unseen realm of your working, that you have it, you always have it. Grow us, Lord, in boldness. And for anyone here today who has yet to trust Christ, open their eyes to see and to turn to you to receive forgiveness and life in him. Lord God, I pray as a community of believers that this would be a season for Trinity of growing in boldness, that you would deliver us from being driven by what's convenient and cautious and comfortable for us, Lord, but you would help us to be strengthened by your Spirit, growing in the character of boldness, for serving you faithfully, whatever you call us to do. Thank you, God, for those who have displayed this for us, Elisha, and even brothers and sisters we know here. Thank you, God, that this is a work of you, and so grow each of us and grow Trinity in this work as well. We thank you. We pray it in Jesus' name, who gave himself for us.